Hello and welcome everybody to another Simon on the Sofa Google Hangout. If you're joining us live, which I think there's a few of you that are, welcome. And if you're picking this up on a replay, then first, what you're seeing is a little thank you message to all of my patrons. And if any of you know what Patreon is, it's a way that you can support Simon on the Sofa with me to continue this beautiful mission by contributing small amounts of money from $1 to $2 to $3 or whatever you feel like giving from your heart on a monthly basis. And that supports me to continue doing this beautiful online mission, you could say. It's not really a show. I don't like calling it a show. So, cat can't come with me because the cat is terrorizing me. Hello, welcome everybody.
Hi, Simon.
Hi, Anaya and Pete. Pete's just dived in from the side. Hey, hello.
Hey, how you doing? We got our cat here now.
Oh, you have?
Yes.
I had my cat too, and then all of a sudden, look, come back. Meow. I had mine too.
Yeah, do you finger thing?
Wait there. Nobody saw that. I'm going to do it. We're here to transform consciousness. Stick with us. Simon on the sofa. It's not my cat, but look, for all you cat lovers out there, I know you love cats. Facebook loves cats. Social media loves cats. Yeah. Look, take a screen grab of me and share it online. Okay, so welcome, beautiful people. Whenever I'm with Anaya, and Pete, this is beautiful to meet you, but whenever I'm with Anaya, we end up being stupid. So for all the viewers out there, you just like go with the flow of this crazy conversation. We have no clue where it's going to go to. But one thing I want to just say, I want to do a little introduction for those that have just maybe come to this conversation for the first time. I met Anaya way back in 2011, which may not seem like way back for some of you, but was way back. And we met spontaneously. We had this beautiful connection. Anaya was traveling around America on one of her tours, which she now does regularly, really sharing and expressing and you could say uncovering what I'm calling the womb wisdom, or what Anaya is calling the womb wisdom. Now, since that time, she's evolved, she's changed, she's done lots of different things. She's still doing womb wisdom, but I really have been wanting to catch up with her for quite some time and have another Simon on the Sofa. And now she's with her beautiful, beloved Pete Wilson. And it's really lovely, as some of you know, for a while I've wanted to just change the dynamics of just one-on-one conversations, but bring in two or three people. So it's really lovely to have Pete with us today as well. And we're going to be showing up very transparently as always. I know Anaya and Pete may have some things they want to share. But one of the things I want to put out there to both Anaya and Pete, to you two beautiful people, is that at the moment I've got a real, even more burning for transparency. It's like, for me, transparency is something that I hear a lot of people talking about. And this idea of what does transparent communication mean is still a big question for people. So today I just want us to be as real, as transparent, as open, as, as loving and real as we can. And with that in mind, I'd love you both, if you're happy to do this, just for people that have never heard of you, don't know anything about you, maybe we'll start with Anaya, ladies first, and then we'll go with Pete. And what I was feeling might be nice is, could you give, I'm going to time this, okay, but could you give a little life story, yeah, in 4 minutes.
Yeah, right? I reckon I could.
Right, so I'm gonna give Anaya 4 minutes and then Pete 4 minutes. So because then I feel that will really just crystallize a little bit for people just first jumping in. Are you guys up for that?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so you can begin when you feel ready.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a little seven-year-old, curly-headed, freckle-faced girl who went to the Sacré-Cœur in Paris with her mum and dad on holiday. As she was coming down the steps of the Sacré-Cœur, she saw a young man, probably in his 20s, sat on the steps with his hands out as if begging for food or money. This little girl was so incredibly attracted to this man that she ran to him and put her hands on top, causing him to look up. And this was no beggar, this was no homeless person. This was a beautiful being with bright blue, crinkly eyes that was filled with love and just a face that was glowing from the inside. This little girl started crying and said to herself, "Oh my God, there's another one of us here on the planet." Now, this little girl grew up into a rebellious teenager, but she never did forget about that beautiful face that she saw on the steps of Sacré-Cœur. And so she started to look for him or her or anything all over the place. As she went through her rebellious teenage, she went to London and became a fashion designer and almost lost her little golden flame. She was very experimental in the nightclub scene, and she saw many things that she wished she didn't. But the golden flame just kept on burning. As she became 28, she went through Saturn's return and got in an awful lot of trouble. And then she started to go to yoga classes to try and find more of her golden flame again, which she beautifully found quite quickly into the process. This reminded her yet again of those beautiful bright blue eyes. And so she started seeking in the spiritual community. And of course, that's quite easy to find someone with bright blue eyes in the spiritual community. But then she met someone with dark brown eyes. And there was a choice point. Shall I go with the one with the dark brown eyes or the one with the blue eyes? And she said to herself, if I don't go with the one with the dark eyes first, I'll always regret it. So she chose to go with the one with the dark brown eyes, and sure enough, she went on a dark brown journey. And she got married, and then she swiftly got divorced. And then she remembered, next time, choose the one with the bright blue eyes. And so she did. But during that time with the one with the dark brown eyes, she had to go to hell and back many times. And that is how she got her golden maturity. And now she can sit on the steps of her own Sacré-Cœur and look like the way that man did. The end.
Wow. You know what? Thank you so much. You know, you just did that under 4 minutes. You're just coming in. Amazing. Yes. Beautiful story. Thank you so much. Okay, beautiful. Let's story time today on Simon on the Sofa. We're going to move on to beautiful Pete Wilson. Greetings, Pete.
Yeah, hi, Simon. Wow, where to start? I suppose classical beginnings in an all-boys school, Catholic run. And that set a scene for sexuality later on, getting clean and getting truthful. I then went from there, joined the Grenadier Guards. So 14 years in infantry in the British Army. Grenadier Guards are known for their Buckingham Palace stuff, but also towards Northern Ireland and First Gulf War. So a lot going on there, a lot of developmental stuff, a lot of appearance stuff, a lot of outside structure disguising an inner chaos. From there, left the army. At that point, I was married to a Swedish woman. So I moved to Sweden for 15 years, two children. Not quite such a rapid divorce. So in that time in Sweden, I started with some friends, an indoor climbing gym, another apparently a masculine environment, but a wonderful look at motivational forces for people, from kids to adults, women, men, all kinds of stuff going on there. Eventually left Stockholm, moved to Copenhagen in Denmark, spent a further 5 years in Denmark. Firstly running a small retreat center in the center of the city. And then lastly, living in a conscious collective inside a community running a retreat center, residential retreat center. So that would have been yoga retreats, mindfulness, silent retreats, kundalini yoga trainings, all kinds of stuff like that. So living as a core, part of a family, holding the space for a variety of different external events and festivals. And then everything changed very rapidly when I suddenly got some time and some money and thought I might visit my old friend who I'd never actually met, but Facebook friend for a couple of years. We'd kind of seen each other's work, but never actually met. So I came ready for 10 days walking in the foothills of the Pyrenees and never left again. Literally. We only had a couple of days, so I spent most of the time on my own walking the foothills. Amazing, amazing, beautiful, really clear, feminine part of the world and a little oasis in Europe. Not so many people, depopulating, wonderful. But I did try to leave my time, go back to Denmark with my train ticket, but in the end I couldn't, because I got an email sitting on the floor saying, you know, the next retreat's cancelled, you don't need to come back. But I didn't have any money. So I phoned Madam up here, said, is it all right if I come back? And said, yeah, come. The only thing is I had to walk 50 kilometres overnight in the rain, in a storm, carrying all the stuff to get back. So, you know, so summary, my world has been very masculine.
Yep.
And now my big passion is working for guys, trying to change guys' situations, trying to get guys to talk about what's going on inside and hopefully, you know, in form.
No, you're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. You still got used to it. Yeah. You got 10 seconds. You're rolling.
I got time. So that's about it. So that's where I'm at. So doing what? Couples work as well with Anaya.
Yeah. And Anaya's still trying to control you with the old time.
Yeah, but I still got 30 seconds.
You had 10 seconds. Well, yeah, you did so good. Thank you so much. You know, I do this. I do this little exercise on the retreats as well sometimes, and some of the workshops, and it's really lovely. I love how you both did it so uniquely, and it's amazing what you can actually share in just 4 minutes, right? It's really sweet, and I hope for the people watching, yes, we've got some live viewers as well, so I hope that gives you a little dance. And I know sometimes we can go on a website and we can read an about page and so on, but it's really nice when we hear people share a little bit more about their story. Of course, there's so much more in there, and 15 years in the army, or 14 years in the army, and 15 years marriage, and all this stuff. I know that Anaya shares her stories, and some of them so openly with the world. And I know she's been through some really, you know, dark nights of the soul, as we all do in our own unique way. Some may be a little bit more darker or a little bit more harder than others may experience, of course. So Anaya and Pete, I think what I'd do is, I know we've had a few interactions. We spoke about, you know, you guys coming together in sort of an authentic relationship. We spoke about wanting to share that with the world. But also, I know that you've been away, you've been on tour. So really, as Pete just said, it's whatever's alive, real inside of you today. See it as whoever comes to this video, you know, this goes around the world. And you know what wants to really be expressed from you both today, and I just journey with you as we beautifully do.
I feel I just do my little two penneth first. So we're both working with men and women,
right?
Great people, gay people, those in between people, everything. We're working on our human responses in relationship, mostly intimate relationship between lovers. Doesn't have to be. And I guess what we're doing is we're working authentically with the gender that we happen to be in. So I'm female, I work with bodies. I work with clothed bodies, naked bodies, gorgeous bodies, broken-hearted bodies, body. So we take our journey together as a group of women in the body, and we start sorting out all of that stuff that us ladies can often walk around in. Guilt, shame, compare, contrast. I'm not blonde enough, I'm not brown enough, I'm overweight, I'm aging, all of it. And all of this ridiculousness, like, oh, I've lost my sex drive, I've lost my libido. I disagree. Yeah. I think I can find it with for you. I'm going to put my little, you know, snorkel on. I think it's in there somewhere.
Let's go.
Let's go, totally. And, you know, as Simon, I always do everything with humor, everything with joy and laughter. Take the sting out of it all. and then Pete.
Yeah, I'm really concerned, but hopeful about men's position. I've come from a military background to classic male environments, and it's still the same old, where guys don't open up. They often don't know what they're thinking and feeling. They don't know how to put it to words.
Right.
And they communicate it in such a way they're not blaming someone, especially at the woman they're with or starting with their mothers. So it's creating in multiple types of environments where guys feel safe to open up and start talking. Nice. And so I do sweet, fun things. Like when an I is running a women's only retreat, I run a parallel for guys in a coffee shop kind of talky session. So it's dead safe. And it's, you know, I'm not trying to be anything. I'm not a white clothes satsang kind of guy. It's just a couple of blokes having a mug of coffee together, but getting into the same issues, but using different wording. None of the spiritual jargon.
Yeah.
Getting it simple and getting them to recognize, you know, they already have the skills needed to hold space for their partner. They just didn't know it. So that's my kind of angle.
And if I could say one more thing, Simon, then we come together. Then we bring everyone together. Mm. And like that man on the steps of Sacré-Cœur, I also have a lot of memories when I was a kid of ladies in white dresses. I think they're like ancient Greece or something because it's one-shouldered. And these beautiful ladies in white dresses would bring the men into the temple and take the war out of them. And the whole thing is very vague. What were they doing? A lot of people jump to the conclusion, oh, they're sacred prostitutes. They were making love in them with them in a holy way. Maybe, maybe not. Who cares? They took the war out of men before those beautiful men went back to their families and kids, and the whole society worked incredibly well. And I am doing my utmost to bring that back out into reality again. So we actually did it in Portland. We actually brought the men in. Now the ladies are in a state of mostly undress, but the whole thing is extremely elegant, dignified, incredibly holy, very pure, and a little bit of joy and laughter. And we bring the men into the temple, and those beautiful men simply get anointed with oil or held, caressed. So there's no exchange of sexual agenda. There's no exchange of sexual self. Maybe there's a little exchange of sensual self, but the sacred heart and the light of the soul is overlighting everything. So it's incredibly decent, and it's at the highest levels I've ever been in that environment that we all love and know as Tantra. And this is my biggest heart's desire. So this could be a very interesting one, because in order to be able to do that, you've got to move through some old conditioning, Simon.
Right.
So when Pete went into the temple, I'm facilitating. I can't be his partner. And so the way it works is it works in threes, one man and two ladies. So I had to get into very close proximity with myself and how I feel about Pete being very closely connected to two other bare-breasted ladies.
Yeah. And how did that make you feel? Because obviously you are open and you've done this work for a long time, and you've been, you know, you're not you've explored Tantra, yogic and so on. So what did come up?
What's the beautiful thing is the worst part is the mind. The worst part is fantasizing what it could be like, what it could lead to. He's going to find someone else more attractive. He's going to have an affair. Brrr, all of that thought form before the actual event. Yeah. We've done it twice now. And every time when it's live and it really is happening, it is as natural as being in the sandpit.
Right.
So it's childlike innocence.
Right.
All of that crazy is not happening. He is immaculate with his energy. The ladies are immaculate with their energy. The whole group is immaculate with their energy. Exactly. It is basically human healing human.
Yeah, beautiful.
In the highest realms imaginable.
Yeah, super beautiful. And isn't it, it's really interesting when you say that, because we, you know, as you know, we do similar work with men and women. And the beautiful thing is that it's such a fear around this idea, like once something's sacred, it's sacred, right?
Yes.
That's the whole point. And the thing is because we don't know sacred, we've not been shown sacred so much. The minute we enter into sacred, the body's raging, the old mind, the old belief systems, the old energy wants to cling on and go, it's going to leave you, it's going to be, oh, he's cheating on you, look how he's looking at that woman, oh my God, look at her, she wants him, she doesn't have a partner, all this other just crap and muck comes out. And actually, and then like you just beautifully said, when we're in that sacred space, there's only that unconditional love. And if that love, even if that in that love, even if that brings people together in that sacredness, then even that is a welcoming of purity and sensuality and all the other stuff. And it's way beyond that sort of out of aligned, you know, old energetic sexual energy, right? Which and not to judge one better than the other, but to say that that old energy has come from those survival emotions, as you both know. You know, shame, you said it earlier, shame, guilt, blame, I'm unworthy, I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm a nobody, right? And so on.
Yeah, it's amazing. So it's like it's honest growth.
Yeah.
Yes, and you, I would never have ever found this with the old model, you know, guru and student,
right,
or even life coach and student, or therapist and student. You ain't going to find that material unless you're in the live environment with your partner and you're going to go through it together consciously.
I love that. And I just, I'm curious, and I'd love you to both speak on this, is there's like, it feels like, there's a dissolving of identity in that place, right? It's a full dissolving of identity, of even this idea of you and Pete and, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, etc. But I'd love you to both, yeah, just speak to it, because you said like it dissolves life coach, you know, pupil, student, guru, and so on. And I know that you've done a lot of work over the years in all different forms, let's say. And again, Pete's coming in with this real, you know, masculine, you know, come from the army, come from the war, and, you know, got that very sort of old, you know, man's got to chop the wood and man's got to take on all the emotion and we can't show our emotions, guys. We got to go all in here, you know? And it's like, and I'd love to hear how, you know, that's dissolved, you know, that really those identities have dissolved so that you can show up as really clean, let's just say conduits for others to do the same, right?
Yeah, just very simply in that environment with the other guys in Portland, it became instantly a very, very sacred space, even though there's a room of 20 plus women largely naked. But it was such a sacred space that didn't come in as an effect. It was part of the beautiful scenery, as it were.
Yeah.
And immediately when we started going through the actual physical touch part of it, my mind got shut down completely. It just wasn't there,
right,
thinking any kind of thought about sexuality or whatever. Plus, and I came in with the instruction to simply surrender. So it was in a place of receiving. What it did for me personally, rather than it being a kind of tantric forum for dodgy sexuality, it actually put me straight very clearly, I am 100,000,000,000% one woman interested. I'm not interested in any way, shape or form in any kind of connection with any other woman than Anaya. It was so pillar-esque, so completely centered. It felt so good to have that confirmed in me, because I know my truth now. I've seen it face to face, kind of thing.
And I know when he goes into that pillar, I can do anything and go anywhere that is necessary for the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean, his energy is impeccable. So I don't have to fret, I don't have to be concerned. Now, with his pillar-esqueness, now that trust realm has just quantified. And there is nowhere and no place and no person I cannot fully be with and wherever they are. And as the facilitator, that's rather handy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure.
And yeah,
I agree, because there's such a thin line, because maybe we should talk here about how we have to be in, or maybe we don't. So I'm open to this conversation. You know, I'm open to what comes up in this, because maybe we don't, but I'm just going to throw out there. Maybe the question is more, do we feel that we have to be in a certain level of awareness for that sacredness to permeate certain minds or certain levels of awareness, consciousness, if you will. And then also within that, I think I'd like you to also both, in your own words, describe what sacred means for you. And the reason why I say that, Anaya and Pete, and I know you will relate to this, is a lot of people throw words around, and like you just both said about this, you know, it might be tantra, it might be yoga, it might be spiritualism, whatever. And I feel that when we're needing to often, and especially the viewers listening, often it's nice if we clarify what that means. Because people go, okay, sacred space, but what does that, you know, what does that mean? I don't know what's sacred. Is that religious? Is that this? So it'd be lovely if we just touch on that, if you both feel that's relevant for the conversation.
I feel that when I'm doing my best to open up sacred space, especially in this tantric environment, I'm praying for purity. I'm praying for innocence, and I'm praying for genuine soul to be touched and remembered. To me, that is what makes sacred space. I've turned up so many times in tantric circles and it's been completely dodgy and no one has said anything, you know. I often call it the elephant in the room. Can you see the elephant in the room? They're like, no, what elephant?
Yeah.
And I've often got myself into very compromised positions,
right,
where I'm allowing all sorts of weird and wonderful things to happen to me and I feel sick. There's something not true, there's something not right about the whole thing. And that's why I came away and said, okay, I've got to create this space.
Yeah, lovely.
And you know what's beautiful, Simon? At the end of the event in Portland, obviously I'm very interested to see what the men are going to say. And I've asked them to just say one word, because there's a big group of us, and make it as potent as possible. There was this one man there, he was big, he was muscular. If you didn't know what you were looking at, you'd say, oh, he's a little bit of a thug. He's a little bit of a hard man, you know, drug dealer, that sort of mentality. And he, as he came to speak, he was holding the blackboard and he was looking down and he was searching for words, big breathing, maybe crying, but eventually he finally looked up and said, I feel shameless. And Simon, that was it. That, if nothing more happens, my life is fulfilled. But that beautiful man to feel shameless, which is his right, his birthright to feel that way, he's in his nakedness, he's sat with naked ladies, and he feels shameless.
Yeah.
That's it. Place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from the opposite extreme. I'm from the no bullshit school of spirituality, which is not dressing anything up as anything else. And especially considering I'm interested in guys, they're not interested in the babble. They want to know what's going on here, how to relate directly to it, and how to use it in their lives. And relationships out of that room. So if I'm talking about what is spirituality, what is sacred space, it's bringing them to a direct experience of that there's something special in this place, which is about them, really. It's what they're feeling. It's nothing about physical structure. It's what. So for example, I very often use things like love. Have you ever experienced love? Yes, of course I have. Yeah. Do you have children? That kind of love. Yeah, I've experienced it. Can you recall how that feels? Close your eyes. Where to feel it in the body? Can you feel it? Yeah. Is that child here? No. Can you feel it anyway? Yes. That is the very edge of where I'm trying to get, or we're trying to get to, which is the mystery, the edge of the mystery, Gnostic understanding, where the words stop and you can still feel that there's more. Breathe that. That is where we start.
Go on, sorry, the last line dropped off there, Pete. That is where you said that's where we start, and then you said that's.
So it's if I want to give guys anything, or couples, but whatever, it's that presence of the mystery, that presence of direct connection with divinity, the god or goddess that speaks to them. It's going directly daily into that place, feel it fully, share it with your partner. That's where you start talking to each other from. And that's where you make your life decisions from, there. So there's always three in a relationship.
Sorry, say again.
So there's always three in a relationship, us two and the divine.
Okay, super. And when you say us two and the divine, you feel the divine is separate from what's causing through your veins and who you are as beings expressing yourself right now? Do you see yourself as an expression of the divine, or the divine is separate from you?
Both. As in, at the moment I'm talking from a human perspective, but as soon as I invite divinity in, then there is an extra intelligence in the moment that is there wanting our good, but wanting us to come to our deepest truth. And that can cause a few dust ups, as it should do.
Yeah, I have. I've been pondering this same sense, really, and I'm just in this moment, as you said that, I'm coming to this place where I'm not sure there is a human experience. Just throwing that out there, meaning that I'm just feeling there's just this divine experience, and that we've disconnected ourselves from that by saying there's a human experience. You know, and I'm throwing that out there, because the more that I'm, let's say, you know, because this will sound, again, words are hard, more that I'm connecting to this, what is being termed as the divine, you know, this sense of vastness, this sense of connection to all that is, the intelligence that you just spoke of, that beautiful, pure space that you want to come from, you know, that space of your own, you said it lovely, Pete, your own unique God or goddess nature, you know, that sense of that we are gods in the flesh, and that there's nothing outside of ourselves that is anything more than what we are and can experience. And I feel that for me is, I'm playing with, you know, yeah, there is no human experience, but that's just me.
Yeah, good word, Simon.
I think there's very clearly human reactions, for example, between a couplage, when things aren't going quite right, there's two human responses, two human egos going on here. But at the point where we remember to bring in divinity, it's possible to take a step back from that, right, and then that divinity becomes also us.
Exactly.
Speaking, connecting from that place, and then all the ego bollocks is just...
Yeah. And again, that's a lovely, you know, when we get into these dialogues, you know, we're talking from different places and come to the same place. And I think that's exactly what I would agree, if I'm hearing what you said right, Pete, is that, yeah, once we get out of the noise of what that so-called human experience is created, then we merge in that space of where we are divine, because we've surrendered. I love that word that Anaya used, but we've surrendered to all that other stuff. And I feel, and the crazy thing is that other stuff, it's not that it's not good, it's not served us or whatever. It's obviously been part of this experience. But I feel sometimes, okay, you know, I feel like sometimes saying, okay, you've done well, thanks a lot, you've done good, but you're not welcome anymore.
Yeah.
So that's my little play with. But let's go into something you said there, Anaya, maybe, unless there's anything alive in you that you want to continue from that place. There's something you said a moment ago, is you was in these certain circles and not to put down Tantra, and it's like Tantra's not good, because we know that the essence of everything is at the core divine and beautiful. But we go into these certain circles, and you wanted to create these safe sacred spaces that you're now doing with Pete. And it's so lovely to hear you share your own vulnerability, where even now, after doing many years of this work, you know, those survival emotions or those little bits of jealousy or maybe judgment come in, and that you're both dissolving that through your own communication. Yeah. I'd love you to maybe just talk about, for people listening, some of the challenges that women have. Maybe Pete can talk about the men, maybe, and you talk about the women, or feel free to, you know, talk about both sides. Mm-hmm. For you, I think, and I'd like you to talk about some of the challenges that women go through, because I think if there's other women listening, it'd be lovely to hear your insights on that.
Well, for me, it was all connected to my voice. So I would go to these tantric circles, and I'm quite a shy person, strangely enough, and I always hold back when it's time to pick your flipping partner. So, you know, the teacher will say, okay, we need to partner up now for this next exercise. So I would just kind of like be a bit shy and withdraw. And no one picked me because my energy's gone in. Mm-hmm. And so I always end up with someone a little bit not non-pickable. And every single time I could feel that, I don't mean to be disrespectful to men, but this has been my experience. It's very difficult because, of course, he's going to get pleasure out of the exercise. But it felt like the pleasure that he was receiving was in the lowest of all low chakras.
Right.
So even when you're loving one another, you're breathing, you're stroking one another, I could feel the icky part of sexuality at play.
Right.
Of course you're meant to feel pleasure. Yeah. But it was that kind of what I would call old man in a raincoat pleasure.
Yeah.
That'd be too judgmental, but I was a lot younger,
much
less developed. But the thing is, it wasn't the man's fault, because what I was being invited to was to use the old voice and say, excuse me, that doesn't feel appropriate. Can you stop that? And can you concentrate more on maybe the sides of my body or my arms?
Right.
But madam couldn't open her voice because she was afraid to use it for many reasons. I was afraid that if the voice did come out, it would be so angry, I would completely behead him.
Yeah.
You know, like inappropriate anger. Or that it actually carried no substance whatsoever, and I would be ignored and overpowered. So this was my own internal struggle. And I totally believe, well, I don't believe, I know, sexuality and verbal expression is exactly united. This is one game.
Love it. That's so beautiful. Yeah, I really appreciate that offering. Because that's something that there's something I've noticed in even in myself, and something I've noticed in the women that I've worked with. I love that they're like, because like you said, is if you had the capacity to just say to that man who's obviously shown up at that place as well because he wants to try and, you know, explore himself and maybe experience something different that's not so, you know, Rain Mac icky, and you know, and basically you wasn't able to, and he obviously wasn't able to voice, and I know this is not just one experience, but just he wasn't able to voice, and I know that from the man's perspective. And then also just to link the two in with the voice. Isn't it funny? Because it's funny, and I know that when I meet somebody and their voice is constricted, and when I say constricted, I mean like even though like really high pitched or whatever, you know, they're just something going on in the throat chakra. Mm. I know that their sexuality instantly. I know their sexuality is blocked. And when they start to unblock their sexuality, it almost, tell me if you've had this experience, but it's almost simultaneous that the root and the throat chakra open at once, right?
Absolutely. And what I'm noticing is as ladies open their sexuality, myself included, then you get this other thing, and it's perfect for this day and age, you get sacred rage.
Right.
And this is great because it's not aimed at one person. Right. And it usually shows up on behalf of the whole frigging planet. Right. And every single life form upon this planet.
Right.
Either yeah. that or it's the onset of menopause. I don't know. But all I know is I've got it and it's sexy and I'm so excited. And it feels like, you know, because we're in the States and obviously Standing Rock, feels like, yeah, I'm going to show up for something really frigging soon.
Yeah.
I don't care who opposes me. I'm going to stand there. And that is sexy.
Yeah, lovely. And actually, just mentioning that before we go on to Pete, this cat is like just will not get off me. It's like meow. It's like it keeps ripping my trousers. So I love this cat, but these trousers I got, it keeps clawing them. You need to express yourself some other way, please. I have a need, but you don't sit on me. See, I'm trying to exercise my MVC communication. So just before we move on to Pete,
yeah.
I think there's something really lovely. When you said, for example, that sacred rage comes, which for women listening, I've worked with some women, and when I get them to scream, when I get them to just roar, like not roar, and like this sort of like little roar where they don't really feel they've got permission for it. Sort of like, I'm like, no, you know, get that guttural roar out, you know, and cry and roar and rage. They soften and open and their face becomes so, so beautiful. And when I say so beautiful, it doesn't matter who you are, what build you are, whatever. When you access that place, you become super soft and just wow. If you're watching this and you've experienced this, you know what I mean. If you haven't, try to experience it, because it's one of those things that you have to witness. But the reason why you said Standing Rock is I'd love to hear what you say, Anaya, just to a little bit on this, is that when a woman goes into this place and accesses that place and that sacred rage and, you know, unblocks the throat, the voice and the sexuality, do you feel, I don't want to coerce you into this, that is helping Standing Rock and any other conflict on the planet or anywhere else?
Absolutely. It doesn't matter where she is on planet. One more woman has opened and freed herself.
Right.
And that is where I believe patriarchy aimed most. Throat, womb. Close both those centers down.
Right.
And of course, when you open one, the other one starts opening at the same time. So this is, I feel this is most definitely the path all ladies are on in our day and age.
Yeah. And that brings me into what a number of people have said, you know, that it's a woman that will change the world and I know it's not to exclude the men here, but just, you know, I love supporting women and just being there as vulnerable as I can be, and is like going into, you know, feeling like I have no clue who I am, what I am, and what age I am, and just I just love supporting women to speak, to show up. And the funny thing is I love doing it for men. I love getting men to realize that they are here to support women. Which is what Pete, I want you to move on and talk about now in the same bit. And I love seeing a man soften and realize that his, you know, his role, or in my opinion, his role is to nurture this woman and allow her to open whilst she cracks open, she cracks you open. It's like, wow, it's like this beautiful, unison that takes place. It's like, oh, I can serve you. I thought I had to go over here and kill a load of tigers for you. No, you didn't, you know? So Pete, please, just whatever's coming up for you, jump in.
Yeah, I mean, on the man's perspective, similar to what Anaya's been talking about, but for us, it's immaculate truth-telling. And it sounds like a hard thing to do, but it actually requires all the courage a man is able to muster, that no matter what, he is looking continuously, is that my deepest truth? Even at the expense or threat of losing the relationship that could possibly save him. The truth telling is more important than that. And controversially, you know, when he does that, he becomes more attractive. But the thing is, it also brings up the ability in that man, if he's being truthful, he starts to see his own self-restricting stories and his own lies that have been sequences of defenses to keep him from being hurt as badly as he was, probably at the hands of his own mother in childhood. And these defenses are getting in the way of a genuine adult-to-adult connection. But when he hits those places and sees what he's been doing, then of course, is really going to let things go. And having the courage, the balls again, to break down in front of his beloved. Of course, when he genuinely, humbly reaches that place, she's going to love him even more genuinely, for having the courage to go there rather than the old bollocks of maintaining a crumbling facade of the old masculine that nobody believes in any longer anyway.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's in sacred union these places get met. I only get triggered in the deepest depth in the hands of a beloved who's meeting me at that same depth that I got my initial wounding from. Because otherwise it's theoretics. At this level, my buttons are getting pushed good by someone who really knows how to push them, but for my good, not to do something harmful to me.
There's an echo now for some reason.
Microphone's off.
Yeah, do it. Sorry, we got that last bit, but I think Anaya was going to jump in.
I was only going to say, I seem to have this primordial response to Pete. So when Pete is sort of like being skinny-ish with the truth, minimizing, sugarcoating, or just blatantly not telling me, sacred rage. But when he speaks the truth, and I don't care what it is, I don't care whether it's what he's thinking, feeling, or actually doing. So when he actually tells me the truth, even if it's the thing, you know, the last thing a woman wants to hear, I don't care. He's actually done that. He's actually disclosed truth that maybe a woman doesn't want to hear. But the moment he reveals truth, the heart is open and I'm with him again. What drives me wild is the attempt to only tell half the truth. And that's what makes me angry.
Yeah, and beautiful. And you know, so go on, sorry.
I think I really want to say that to the ladies. When the truth comes, we all have been so afraid of truth. When truth is spoken, it's a great big frigging relief.
Right.
When you're trying to hide things and cover your tracks and backtrack here and shave off there, that's when the relationship goes into crisis, because we can feel it.
Yes. You just...
I can feel it when I'm skimming with truth. I can certainly feel it when he is, and vice versa. Truth is another very sexy thing. It's like, so good.
That was the cat. There's lots there, but so much juice. You said exactly what I wanted to say, which was for the women, the women know. Men, if you're watching this, the message I have for you is the women know, dude. Drop it. You know, it's like, stop it. It's, you know, if you're a man watching this talk, and I'm sure Pete might agree with me here, but if you think that you are cunningly getting away with some half-truths by a woman, she knows even if she don't know, she knows.
I think that's what makes us so freaking irritable, because we can feel something in the field.
Yeah,
something totally. Not what it appears to be. going to get some power.
The thing here is, though, I don't think most guys at this level are deliberately lying. I think what's happening is they're not used to digging deep enough for the real truth, and they're coming up with stuff that sounds plausible, that sounds even in our circles spiritually correct, but it's actually a half truth, or it's, you know, masking the truth. And what when the lady gets angry, brings the sacred rage, she's not saying you're fucking lying, she's saying go deeper than that. Yeah. There's more there.
Yes.
And our egos come up and say, you're trying to change me again. What she's seeing is there's something more there in the depth, more of you, rather than, you know, learned set of responses, especially in the spiritual world, especially people who would do the classic ascendancy stuff, you know, going all spiritual instead of owning the shit that's starting to float to the surface.
No, but that's a really good point you bring up it as well. And again, just for the people viewing, you know, you might know this, but if you're new to Simon on the Sofa, is again this idea of that spirituality is over here and something's over here. It's not what I go by. What I go by is that it's all spiritual or it's not. Like, otherwise, was you born into this beautiful experience and you only became spiritual when you read Eckhart Tolle? It's just not true. It can't be like that. I understand that we've separated it and gone spirituals over here because we're more connected maybe to the spirit, to the divine, to the essence of, you know, there's reasons, but ultimately, you know the difference between an enlightened person and an unenlightened person. The enlightened person knows there's no different. Yeah. So it's really like just to clarify that, I know you sort of said that, Pete, in the same thing, but I know that there's a fire in you, Pete, that you sort of obviously are feeling that divide a little bit in the work that you've been doing and the path you've been on, especially with the men that you're working with. So I just want to bring that too. But I want to just say, Pete, what you just said is really lovely. First of all, I want to acknowledge what you just said, because it's like what you just said is a hidden communication. And if men could know, because the problem is, and I'd love you just to maybe talk a little bit more on this, Pete, the problem is the men, maybe let's go back to the men that me and you were, maybe you when you was in the war, me when I was a criminal, in that sense of like, I speak for myself first, Pete, but you know, sleep with as many women as possible, you know, I'm a man, look at me, you know, I can pull a good woman and I'm going to get her in the bed and give her what for and whatever else, you know, that sort of like icky, close to, I never had a Mac, but it was still icky, right? And I, right? So the point is, Pete, a lot of men just don't know that a woman's saying, give me more depth. But I'd love, what's your view on that?
Well, yeah, part of it's having the presence to be able to genuinely listen, as in, I see still myself defending egoically to something and I are saying, but we're learning ways in which the other listens. For example, if Anaya can communicate something with less anger, rage is a different thing, anger, but change the way she says it, I will hear it in a different way. So instead of it being an accusation, it could be an invitation, then I don't need to defend against something and I can listen. So it's a two-way street. Same thing. Every time a Anaya experiences that I'm telling the truth, she has a direct experience that I can tell the truth. Therefore, her level of trusting in me rises. I feel her trust in me. Therefore, as a man, I want to bring her more truth, more stability, more surety in my beingness around her. Or is it, you know, it's hand in hand, what works for one tips something in the other. And that's the beautiful journey.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So Anaya, in that, I think it's what you just said a moment ago and what Pete's saying. So are we all agreeing in essence on this conversation that just to cut out all the noise and the concepts and the theories, like if we come from a place of truth, come from a place of transparency, or I like the word you use, Pete, immaculate communication or impeccability. And like you said, Anaya, being able to get that, you know, just even if it's really hard, just get that voice out. Yeah. Are we saying that in that we find our way in that dance, right? That's how we can like navigate ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to like needing the seven steps, you know, the seven steps for a relationship, you know, it's more of a unique dance. Am I right?
Yeah. And by immaculate truth telling, guys don't have to remember any story, just tell the truth. So you don't have to get up in tracking which half lies you've been telling. It's so simple and it's so very easy.
Yeah.
And it's much more relaxed, you know, doesn't make it totally easy because then more stuff comes up, but it's great.
Another priceless quality, humility. So let's just say I am really, you know, going for Pete. I can feel something, there's something here. And he asks me to, you know, back down. Taking that breath, you know, making a quick prayer on the inside. Beloved Mother, Father, God, help me to find my humility right now. Bring it down a few notches, but not suppression, because the sacred rage, you've got to remember, I've been such a lovely person most of my life, hardly ever doing sacred rage. So now, so I'm not going to suppress this beautiful, powerful quality, but I do recognize, drop it down a few notches, my love. He's got hardly any hair left. Yeah, but you can't do that unless you you want to reach your humility.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's, am I hearing that this is about willingness? And I think from Pete, I'm hearing that from you as well, in the sense of, like, from a man's perspective, it's willingness. And you wrote something actually recently, Pete. I saw you post something as a message to men about, you know, just about, like, not running away from a woman or a partnership. Of course, some partnerships have to end. I understand that. And we come to a growth edge, and that's okay. But I remember you sort of, if this is relevant in this moment, I feel it is, that you mentioned, like, guys, come on, dig in, you know, stay the course. You remember? It's only recently, about a week ago, I think.
We call it the back doors. We say to men and women, you know, there's three major back doors to stop us from going deeper. So the other one is like wayward sexual energy on another person. So the Rain Mac theory again. So leak in your sexuality in really undercover, icky ways to bolster your own self-esteem. And then another one is the on-off switch. I'm in, I'm out. Let's do this. No, it's over. Let's separate. Let's stay together. No one's going to go anywhere with that kind of energy. Yep. And the other one is the immaculate truth-telling.
Nice.
Is that the cat in front of the...
No, it's a fly.
Oh, okay. Nice kung fu moves, Neo.
You know what? That was my Zen meditation for flies. God, it is a good fly coming back. I think the fly wants to see you guys. It's as simple as that. Yeah, that's all I can say. No, but that's really lovely. I really like that. I'm going to use that, Anaya, because I can totally relate on all levels. I've been in those relationships. You know, definitely. I don't want to say I've had the Mac. But in terms of, like, ickiness and just being in that sort of lower frequency, dense sexual energy, and not even knowing I was in it. And then definitely the on-off switch, you know, am I in, am I not? How can you drop any depth? And actually, I want to say a big thank you to the woman I'm with now, sat over there. She might come and say hello in a moment. She's actually kept me in, you know? It's like she's gone... No, you ain't running. You're always running. Just stay here, boy. You know?
Yeah.
And that's actually brought in what Pete's just said, which is the immaculate, she knows I love transparency, but that's brought in more of the immaculate truth. Like, okay, this is what I'm feeling. This is what's there.
Yeah. And you're such an anchor.
What? You called me an anchor?
She called you an anchor.
I can't believe you just called me an anchor live on air. Wait till my ship catches yours, you two, and I'll cast you ashore.
I've been a pirate again.
but that's what I mean. You can make it all so playful, because all it is conditioning.
Yeah.
Stuff we've learned, the on-off switch, leaky sexual energy, lying, cheating.
Yeah.
Make it playful. Grab your anchor.
Yeah. Grab your anchor. I might name our conversation that. Just grab your anchor, or we'll be well.
Yeah.
Or stop being an anchor.
Yeah. Stop being an anchor. Ah, oh, that's super beautiful. I'm like, you know, these conversations are juicy. I know we've I got to plug in. Let me plug in. Just talk to the beautiful viewers.
Hey, beloved friends. I hope you're enjoying this conversation because we really are.
We really want to invite you to our house in the foothills of the Pyrenees in the south of France because that's where the real work is done.
Then we can all be anchors together.
But
you're doing a great job, guys. Keep it going.
So, yeah, Paul. I want to get you down. One of the reasons.
Simon, not Paul.
Yeah. SPS.
You can call me Paul Pete because then we've got the same capital letter as our names, Paul and Pete.
But I wanted to get you to the south of France, especially because we're doing this great thing called Cave to Cave. What we're doing is we're touring for 7 days, sleeping in a new cave every night, and it's all shadow work, darkness, shadows, back of the caves. There's a parallel to, you know, digging deep, finding out there's beauty underneath the places you don't want to go, but you'd love it. Different cave, sleeping in castles, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. That's when you come down. Man.
You're doing that with just men or men and women?
So far it's been men, because it's a perfect tool for men. Less talking, more experience. But a lot of the ladies keep saying, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
So all this summer, we're going to be doing a lot more of both sexes, separate and together in the caves. You know, it makes it cheaper as well. There's no accommodation fees.
Yeah, it's always, that's always a bonus. It sounds very interesting. And we're doing a bit of traveling this year, but tell me about it. And maybe me and Dara will take a journey to the south of France and come and hang out. It'd be nice just to come and hang out with you guys anyway. And you know, be beautiful.
Because what we do, when we see who has turned up or what place they're in, we adapt what we're doing. Mm. Some just need to go to the local, you know, the nearest castle and get into that energy. But, you know, the blokes might want to get into the old Knights Templar thing and get into those stories, or the ladies into Mary Magdalene. So we very much weave who's there and the constellations between people.
Mm, very nice. Very nice. So listen, beautiful people. We've flown through. I never cap these, but yeah, we've done an hour. I love where we went and what we did. It's so beautiful. Just maybe as a sort of caveat, for me, you've sort of touched on everything that you're both about right now, which is just this real authentic relationship, showing up for each other and expressing that, which is super beautiful. Is there anything that you feel that I always like to ask this at the end? Is there anything you feel in this moment that you would like to express, or even just take a moment, or if it's not in the head, but is there anything in the body that wants to be communicated while we're here together? And if there's not, that's not a problem, but just checking in.
I have two things. To all the couples out there in these authentic relationships, don't bother getting advice from those who are not. Their advice is useless and meaningless. If you want advice, go to other people who know the level of this alchemy and who can really understand the perils and beautiful bliss openings along the way. So that's number one. Number two, I believe sacred rage is coming for all of us, men and women, and this is the midwifing energy of this new birth. I mean, because we're in the States, we were bombarded with Donald Trump being elected in, Standing Rock. And I believe the Great Mother is backing us into a corner to find our sacred rage so that we can come out as men and women and simply say, no, not in my name, not whilst I'm looking.
Beautiful.
And this will just cover everything.
Yeah, I love that. And I had some sacred, would you call that sacred rage this morning that I had? What was that? sacred passion. Passion. I'm getting a nod of sacred passion, but sacred rage as well, right? Because it was like, not directed at Dara in any way, but just very much like, I was just like, you know, enough with this, like people dying and no energy, and it's like, where's that aliveness? And it was just like, you know, and it was just like things coming through me this morning was like that people just not speaking clearly and like suppressed. And I was like, come on, you know, let me. I said, you know, we can cover it up with nice little concepts or little ideas or this. We don't want to harm anyone. I was like, no, I just want raw, real transparency, because it can be held. Yeah. And yep. It's like, you know, you're pissed off about the job. You don't like this. You don't know what's going on in government, whatever. It's like, you know, let's bring it out.
Yes.
And that felt beautiful when it afterwards, and felt a lot of release, because at first what happened, just to throw this in there for you both, what happened is that the way that I was being without expressing that, Dara personalized a little bit and thought that something that she had done or something that she had communicated, which literally she was playing music, which is beautiful, and making a smoothie, right? So it wasn't like she had done anything wrong, but because of how I was acting in my response and my quite aggressiveness, it came across as if it was towards her. And then when she brought me up on that, and then I was like, oh no, it's because this. And then she was, okay, well, I didn't know this. And then I was like, no, what is there's something else there. And then boom, like Pete just said, it's like there's something else there. And then it was like, there it is. And then after that, we both just, you know, as you both know, softening, beauty, awareness, and so on. So.
Yeah. And being able to facilitate that for one another.
Yeah.
Because it's just noise. But of course, if we have a childhood of fear of aggression, fear of loud, shouty voices, then when our partner does do sacred rage, we're going to probably run for the hills or shut down. But the invitation is to say, beloved friends, don't worry about it. It's just hot energy. It's noise. And we will have to access this, all of us, to be able to withstand what is probably going to be showing up soon.
Yeah.
And it's not to bring in fear, but to bring in massive realization, massive discernment, and massive empowerment.
Beautiful. Yeah, super beautiful. And just to add in there before, like this, I want to say this to people viewing, actually, because you and Pete, I know, have got your own processes and work, and you've been doing this for many years, and I know you're now doing it together. So it's not really, it's a message for people, or an invitation for people watching, because the retreats that we do and Pete and Anaya do, like we're doing emotional release, we're doing anger release, we're doing, you know, we're going deep into the wounds, the subconscious, we're looking at the shame, guilt, and so on. We're getting naked, as Pete and Anaya are doing. You know, we're doing our own work on this. And I'm saying to you, I've been doing this for years. I still get naked. I still do the screaming. I do the active meditations. I do it. And I'm still, like this morning, it's there and I need to be held and supported. So when I'm meeting somebody, and it might be you out there, when you tell me you've done, read a book, or you've gone to, you know, one event where you've shouted a little bit, that's cool. That's a great start. But I'm telling you, there's more inside. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's, I just wanted to
believe that once we've done our own personal quota, we're going to start channeling that mother for the collective.
Right.
So if you're an open channel and you're sat next to someone and they simply can't go there, then your sacred heart is going to say, no worries, I'll go there for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And I just got tingles all throughout my back, because that's actually what happened. I did that the other day in a workshop. I wasn't facilitating this, I was participant, and one guy, bless him, was doing a process, lovely man, and I was just feeling the resistance, you know. I was just feeling this stuff around his father and around the mother, and as you both know, we've got to heal those ancestral paths, right? And I just stood up. You guys would have laughed. I don't know if Dara's there. She's smiling maybe, but I just got up. I think everyone started laughing. It was funny, but it was, I don't know what happened, Anaya. All out of MP, out of the blue. I got up and I was like, rawr! I was like, and I just started screaming at his mum and dad, and saying what I felt he was holding back. And it was just this outburst of like 20 seconds. And then I sat down, I laid back down, and I was like, just laid there like with my heart pumping and just like, okay. And everyone was laughing, but like, and then he looked at me and went, thank you for expressing how I feel.
Yes, Simon. Yes.
Yeah. So I think that happened. It's almost like if you're in the space, like you said, you're the channel for it, it will happen regardless.
Yeah.
Awesome. Perfect. Okay, Pete, do you have any final words, beautiful man?
I mean, it's very simple. The three of us have been speaking the same speech in slightly different forms. Mm. It's coming, finding our own authentic voice in the moment, in touch with what we're really feeling, and creating the space for each other to express that, not taking it personally, but supporting the space for the other to do the work they need to do on themselves, asking the right questions in the right way. And that's very different according to what's going on. Mm. Encouragement.
Yes.
Yeah, including sometimes it takes someone shouting in your face to wake up. If that's the right tool in the right moment, so be it. No problem.
Mm. Yeah, and it's trusting. It's again comes back. You mentioned trust at the beginning, but full circle, it comes back to again trusting. When you say get that human stuff out of the way, let's just call it that for this example, and just trusting the divine, right? Trusting that what wants to come through.
Yeah.
And knowing that in the moment, this is what I sometimes say to people. They sometimes say to me, but what will I do? Or, you know, they can become codependent on either their teachers or something or whatever. And they say, well, what would I do in that moment? I'm like, listen, if you just show up, if you just trust, you will know what to do in that moment. And that's really key.
Uh-huh. Super
beautiful. Okay, so that feels, you know, as you were both speaking, I'm having a little idea. I'm going to put this out there, but I'll talk to you about this both another time. But there's, and I know you're doing this, but it feels like throughout this coming year, this 2017, you know, I feel more conversations just on this, repeating what we've shared today, you know, like just, and you know, whatever, a few thousand people watch this talk, that's great, but this is a message that is really at the forefront right now that we have to keep repeating with consistency, transparency, immaculacy, impeccability. Do this, do the work, you know.
So
I think that it'd be nice, maybe even if we do a little audio piece, because the visuals, and you know, it doesn't always have to be visual, but just, you know, we check in again mid-year, have another conversation, see where we're at with it, what's come up, what's been uncovered.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Simon.
Makes me think of a slight variation which I'm doing with the men's group I'm running online, but again, encouraging them to make short videos of themselves speaking about what they're feeling. And they don't even need to post it, but just play it back to themselves. And they get used to seeing and hearing a bloke just like them talking their kind of speech. Just getting them used to what are you thinking, feeling, and saying it.
Yeah.
But they're actually posting as well, encouraging other guys to kind of get in there as well.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Under the camera.
Yeah, and there's always this beauty. The camera has a great, well, the camera is a witness. So it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ah.
Just letting that sink.
Yeah.
Cat attack.
Yeah.
Cat attack.
Thank you, Simon, for everything that you do.
I'm watching.
Show up.
Ah, bless you. Thank you. Yeah. And listen, it's always a pleasure. It's super, super beautiful to see you and to share this time. And I'm glad we made it happen. And I know, you know, it was spontaneous, but I feel charged up and cleansed from this conversation. So I really appreciate. And I just appreciate, Anaya, you know, I just appreciate the transparency that you have done over the years since I've met you. And I know whatever people may, everyone has their own judgments of all of us, you know, on this path. But one of the beautiful things that I have really enjoyed with you is that you do, and maybe sometimes not as much as you think you do, but you do bear yourself, your soul. And you know, you do that out there. And I'm sure at times you've had to take whatever you've had to take from doing that, courage and shame and go through judgment and maybe even ridicule at times. But I want to just acknowledge you in that. It's because that's how I've met you. That's how I've met you. And that's where we've connected on, regardless of what we may do or have beliefs of. We've always met in that space. And I really want to just acknowledge that.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I love you so much.
Yeah, so much love. So Pete, enjoy. And we will speak again. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for being a courageous man out there right now at the edge and supporting other men. It's a beautiful thing that you're doing. And a lot of people that I meet, Pete, along the way, they say all the time, they're like, men need more support. Men need initiation. Men need to come together. So the fact that you've stepped into that role, I just want to also say thank you from one man to another.
My very deep pleasure. It's not a choice any longer to do it.
Yeah, it's no choice, exactly. Okay, so we're going to just wrap this up. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for the live viewers. I've seen some of you pop in and pop out and so on. That's been beautiful. I want to say to the people viewing, whether you're on replay or on live, I know the image sometimes drops out on Google Hangout. I am actually planning on using a different technology as I move into 2017. Because I've quite liked the idea of split screen. So I'm looking into that for my regular viewers. And if you have any comments for Anaya or Pete or myself, you feel free to put them in the message thread below this video. I've also, in the description, I've put Anaya's website where you can go there and you can read up on Anaya and Pete and the work they're doing. All the information's on that website. So go there. And please, as always, thank you to my patrons. So a woman recently wrote to me and she wanted to give me $1, and she felt bad about giving me $1 a month for supporting me. She thought it was too little. Let me tell you, nothing is too little in this journey. We are all in this shift, this transition. Whatever you can give is what you can give. And if you can't give anything, you're still a miracle, divine, whole and complete. You know, this is not about, we're transcending old patterns, paradigms, beliefs, exchange models, relationship models. All of it is open for dissolving. So please, if you want to contribute to support me so I can continue doing these calls and all the work I do, because most of the work I do is from a place of gift. And the gift, you want to read about that, go to my website, nakedtheretreat.com. You can read about why we do the gift, what the gift is about, and how we're fueling all of our mission on supporting others from a place of the gift. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with Anaya and Pete. I hope you have too. And wherever you are in the world, me, Pete, and Anaya are sending you so much, as Kaya Pacha would say, so much love. Take care. And I, Pete, I'm checking out. Take care. All the best.
Yeah, bye.